Father God, I come to you in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. I thank you for the opportunity to tell the world that Jesus is truly alive. Father, I ask that each person that would hear this message, that it will change their lives. And that this word would not only go into the hearts of men, but right into the spirit. And not into ears, but into the spirit. Change our hearts, Lord Jesus. Change our lives. Thank you for a rhema word. And I ask your unmerited favor and your mercy upon me. In Jesus' name, amen. In 2004, my life really made a huge change. I was the real typical woman that was in control of everything, every situation in my house. I have a husband, two children, two boys, Aldous. At that stage, he was 12, and the little one, Josh, 2.5 years old. And that was the year that I was Mrs. South Africa, and everything was good in my life. I have a very good business, beautiful children, marriage. I really had everything that I thought love was all about. And we went to New York in the summer of 2004 for a vacation, and I went for a congress and I spoke there, and afterwards my family was there and we went did some sightseeing. So we went to the United Nations building, and there I saw a very huge mosaic, and this mosaic was all the different people of the world. And I asked Aldo to come and stand there right next to the mosaic so I could take a picture of him. So as I took the picture, the Spirit of the Living God spoke to me and said to me, all the broken pieces of your life are nothing more than a beautiful mosaic of your future. And those words really went into my heart, and I bent right there and I wrote it down. Because sometimes in life you get a word, and that word we call a logos word, a logos word. Otherwise, if it's not in your head and it goes straight to your spirit, we call it a rhema word. But that day the word was really a rhema word. And after that we went back to South Africa, and I had to speak the night at the State Theatre to a lot of people and ask the Spirit of God, what should I talk about? And he said to me, remember I gave you the message. So I start and I tell the people about the plates of life that we all are busy painting. Some of us is painting only in brown and beige. Some of us, our plates are full and colorful. And one day, this plate just dropped out of your hand and you really have no control. And all of us has one choice. You have to bend your knee. Bend your knee and gather all the pieces together. And as you gather those pieces together, you have a choice. The first person took a pencil, and by the grace and the mercy of the Holy Spirit, you start drawing the new picture of your life. And you take all those pieces and you stick it together, because all the broken pieces of your life are nothing more than a beautiful mosaic of your future. But the other person has also gathered all the pieces together, but they sat in that pieces and stayed there. And after a year, after you pass there, you will see them sitting still in those broken pieces. And they start bleeding. And with that, bitterness follows. And today I realized a very important lesson in life, that you cannot be pitiful and powerful at the same time. You have to make a choice. You have to make a choice. And that night I could see the people really, they enjoyed the message, and I could see that it touched the hearts of many people. And as I drove home, I said to the Lord in my arrogance, I said, "Lord, thank you that I have no idea what I'm talking about tonight, because my life is so perfect. I have everything in life. I don't know what's broken pieces." It was not even a couple of weeks after that, that me and my family were in the Free State, where I was talking the Saturday, and on our way back to Hartbeespoort Dam, where we stay, on the highway near the Grassmere Plaza, there was a vehicle in the road, 7:30 that night, a vehicle in the road without lights, standing still. So as we approached this vehicle, we didn't have a choice. So my husband couldn't go to the right-hand lane, because that was the fast lane. If he went over this vehicle, I believe in my heart till today that all of them would have been dead, and us as well. So he went to the left-hand side. And on the left-hand side, there was a water curb. And our vehicle hit that, and it starts rolling, and it just rolls and rolls and rolls, and it felt like never ending. When it stopped, I couldn't find my children. And I remember how I ran on the highway, and I fell over pieces of the car. And as I fell on the highway, and I was lying there, the Spirit of the Living God spoke to me and said to me very clearly in a soft voice, "All the broken pieces of your life are nothing more than a beautiful mosaic of your future." I didn't want to hear those words, because it was so familiar. And I realized that God spoke to me. He prepared me, but I was not focused. And because I wasn't focused, I didn't hear his voice. So I start shouting to try to hear my children. And it wasn't a normal shout, I tell you. It wasn't like calling them to come and eat. It was really out of my spirit. I called unto them their names, and I shouted their names. And the little one was crying in the bush, so we found him, and he just had a little bit of cuts, but he was fine. But we didn't find Aldo, the 12-year-old. And I was really shouting his name. And something, that day I thought it was something, but I can tell you now, it's the Spirit of God. Guide me over the highway, right over to the middle lane. And there I found him in the bush. He was lying there, and in the darkness, I was trying to feel his body, and he didn't answer me when I spoke to him. I didn't answer. So as I tried to feel what's happening to him, when I touched his head, I felt his whole skull was open, cracked open. And in a moment, and in an instant, I could feel how my son's life was running through my fingers, and I couldn't stop it. Like today, I can tell you. You can tell me how many, you can tell me how much money you have. You can tell me who you are. You can tell me anything. It's God, and God alone, that has life and death in His hands. I was trying to get a pulse, and I couldn't get a pulse. And then I took my ear and I put it on his heart. And I couldn't hear a heartbeat. And all of a sudden, a vehicle was trying to avoid the accident scene, and it went into the bush. So I realized I have to jump up, otherwise this vehicle is going to go over us. And as I jumped up, I looked into this vehicle's lights. Something strange happened. My whole body started shaking. It wasn't as if you're cold. It really shaked. My body was up in arms. And as that happened, something strange happened again. A heat came over my whole body. Started at my head, ended at my toes. But that heat was, it was so warm, gentle, peaceful. The Word of God mentioned it, and it says, you will find peace that no words can describe. And today I can tell you, I can't describe that. And then I could call my husband and I said to him, yes, I'll do, and I found him. So we called the helicopter arrived, and they start working with him. But the young man came to me and he said to me, Mrs. McPherson, he said, you have to greet your son. I'm not sure if he's going to make the hospital. And as we were still standing there on the road, all of a sudden a car drove in. But it was really like he was driving into all of us. People jumped out of the way. And a black man get out of the car, and then the next thing, he was calling, but loud, loud, out of nowhere, he was calling the name of Jesus. And he said, in the mighty name of Jesus Christ, this boy will live and he will not die. In the name of Jesus Christ, this boy will live and he will not die. I wasn't used to that. Because you see, I was in the church all my life. But never ever have I done that. And I called out to the Lord. I said, Lord, where are you? Where are you? And he said to me, look at that man. He's my hands and he's my feet. My first lesson. Even though I've been in church, never ever have I been his hands and his feet. I don't know about you, but have you ever stopped and prayed at an accident scene? You see, pride is in most of the times in the way. And then the helicopter took him and to the hospital, and there he went into a 4-hour operation. And again, a doctor came out and he said to us, Mr. McPherson, we're going to put your son on all these machines. But most of the times, his organs just, the organs stop. But it's time for you to say goodbye, and maybe, maybe not, we don't know. But the peace of God was still over me. So for another week, he was on these machines. And I was running day by day after the doctors, looking into their eyes, seeking for hope. Hope in men's eyes. And I stayed right opposite ICU. And the first weekend, my husband said to me, you have to go home to see Josh. I didn't want to go home because I was afraid. Today I know the Word of God says in Job 3, whatever you fear, that will happen to you. So tell me what you fear. I can tell you what happened to you. I'm a woman that all my life I've feared to be in an accident, in a vehicle, motor car accident like this. And my children, something would happen to them. I got that. Because I opened the door for fear. And that night, I didn't want to go home. Because I was so afraid to leave the hospital. And maybe he would die. And I cried at home. Eventually, I went to sleep. And then I had a dream. I want to tell you today that God is still speaking. He's speaking in dreams. He's talking to people in visions, through his word, through nature, through people, his spirit. God is still speaking, but it's us, because we don't hear his voice anymore. In his word he says, My arm's not too short, but it's your sins. It's your sins that's building a wall between us and God. And And I always thought, you know, I don't have sins. I'm a pretty good person. We tend to forget about pride and jealousy and hatred and bitterness. All these things separate us. And it's building a wall that we can't hear his voice. And that night, I had a dream. And in this dream, I saw my son lying, but his fingers, it's just getting black. Black, black, black. And his lips is getting dry and black. And I say to him, Aldo, I can see you busy dying. And I'm going to leave you now so that you can go. And then in this dream, he was talking back to me and he said, no, Mommy, no, please don't. He said, you have to speak life over me. You have to. And Proverbs it says, 18:21, life and death is in your tongue. And everybody that speaks that will eat the fruit of it. And suddenly I remember the scripture in John 10:10, which is, yes, the devil did come to steal. But then Jesus came so that we can have life, and life in abundantly. And the Amplified says, till it overflows, that life, that is what Jesus came for. And that's got nothing to do with our bank balance. It's got to do with streams of living waters that's flowing out of us. And then I start saying over him, I said, you will have life and life in abundance. You will have life and life in abundance. You will have life and life in abundance. And I kept on saying it. I kept on saying those words. And all of a sudden, after a long time that I kept on saying it, I saw his fingers start growing again and get color. And his lips, the color came back. And I realized what happened. And the next thing, I heard him crying. I heard the cry next to me. And today, 2006, November, it's 2.5 years after the accident. I've never ever heard him crying again. That was the last time. So as I opened my eyes, I realized this was so true. This was so, I could touch it. It was Rema. The next morning, very early, I went back to the hospital just to find my husband crying, sitting on the floor and crying. And I said, what's wrong? He said, last night, 2 o'clock, he had a very bad dip and they struggled to keep him alive. He said, but just all of a sudden, his heart beat was normal again. And I looked at him and I said, I know. He said, how can you know? I said, I saw it in the spirit. God showed me that. I said, but he spoke to me and he said to me, we have to speak life over him. Well, my husband was a very good man at that stage, but also dead in the spirit. And I was too. And for him to accept what I said was a miracle itself. I just said to him, now we're going to walk around that bed and we're going to speak life into him. Life into each part of him. And God gave me the scripture in 2 Kings 4 of Elijah and the Shunammite woman. God said to me, go and blow life in him. I did. And then another week passed. Nothing happened. He was just lying on all those machines. And day 12 arrived and they said to us, they're going to try the second time, but there's no brain function and they're going to try a second time to see if they can take some more blood, remove some blood of the brain, but then it's going to be over if they can't help. And as they came out, I looked into their eyes and I could see the message. And they said to me, Mrs. McPherson, it's time to phone your husband. I knew exactly what that meant. So I ran to the room opposite ICU, and I took my jacket and I put it over my head. I didn't know why I did that. Today I know. You see, when Moses went into God's presence, the glory of God was so great, he couldn't face it. So I fell on my knees. The word of God says, every knee shall bow, and every tongue shall confess. So I bent my knees, and I shout out to the living God. And that day, for the first time in my life, I realized what the word of God means when he said he wants people that worship him in spirit and in truth. I've never ever called him out of my spirit, but always out of flesh. And that day, when it came out of my spirit, he answered me immediately, but in a loud voice. Do God still speak in loud voices? Yes. Always? No. But he does. And God answered me right away. And he said, take off your shoes. You're standing on holy ground. And the next thing he asked me, Rita, do you believe that Jesus paid the full price on Calvary? I grew up with that. So immediately I want to say yes. But you see, you know my heart. So he asked again, do you really believe that Jesus paid the full price on Calvary? And out of love and mercy and grace, he showed me Calvary. He showed me my Jesus hanging on the cross. 39 stripes. And I can tell you, it's not the same picture that we see on television. It's a total, total different thing. I could see the flesh coming off Jesus, out of his body. And after each stripe he took for me, I heard something. I heard the voice of God saying, I did it for you. I did it for you. You see, I saw Jesus hanging, but I also heard a father, a loving father, saying, I did it for you. I did it for you. Because sometimes I thought it was for the priest maybe, or the pastor. No. I did it for you as well. And then God spoke to me. I cried. I said, Lord, please, can't be for me. Do you know who I am? I'm so full of sin. He said, yes. That's why I did it. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he sent his only Son, for those who believe in him not to perish, but to have everlasting life. And as for the first time in my life, I realized what happened on Calvary. And the moment when he cried out and he said, it's done. It's all done. I saw how the curtain, the veil, opened. But from heaven to earth, it opened up. And as the veil opened up, I saw my spirit something very strange. I saw, it was a picture like the tabernacle, the outer court, the holy place, and the most holy place. And there in the holy place, I could hear the voice of God crying out to me, come in, my child, come, come into my presence. The price has been paid. And as I entered, I was on the outer court. And in the word of God, you will see that he mentioned, he said, Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And that is the outer court, the holy place, and the most holy place. And as I was standing on the outer court, he said to me, you have to enter, my child. You have to take off all those masks that you are wearing. All your tasks, all your striving, does not impress me at all. I want your life. And I said, Lord, but you have my heart for so many years. He said, I'm not interested in your heart. I want your love. Leave everything behind and follow me. And as I entered into the holy place, I saw a huge bath, and that bath was full of his blood. The Jewish bride also go into a bath. They call it the mikveh. When you enter there, you're holy. You're holy when you're finished. And that's the blood of Jesus. You can tell me, but do you know what sins I had? Do you know who I am? Jesus says, yes, I know everything. But the blood of Jesus sets you free. You have to enter. And then he said to me, I have to fill you with my spirit, Rita. I said, Lord, but for how many years have I asked you in church to fill me with your spirit? He said, I couldn't. Because you were full with your pride. You were filled with your pride. You have to die in yourself so that I can fill you with my pride, with my spirit. And as he filled me, he took me into the Holy of Holies. And there I found the most precious love that you will ever find. You will never find that love on earth. Love, grace, mercy, peace. That's all there. And as I was standing there, he said to me, are you willing to offer your child to me? For 10 years, he was my only son. He was my only child. And that was so hard when God spoke to me and said, are you willing to give him to me? I couldn't. I just couldn't. He gave me the scripture right there and then in Genesis 22, where he spoke to Abram and he said, for God himself said to Abram, you have to offer your child. And then God gave me the scripture in Matthew where he says, for all of you that loves your sons and your daughters more than me, you're not welcome. I realized he was talking about me. Anything that you put before God is an idol. He wants to be your everything. He's a jealous God. And then I said, yes, Lord, I'm willing. And the moment I said yes, I felt a light all over me. And I realized I'm in the throne room of the mighty God. And that light, today I know what that is. I didn't know then. Today I can tell you, it is the Shekinah glory. It's the glory of the living God. And that glory surrounded me. It was peace. It was love. It was grace. It was mercy. For me? Yes. And that is what I've strived for all my life. And I didn't know how to get it. You see, you just have to die so that he can take you and fill you. It's one thing to die with him, but it's another thing to live with him. And that's why I said he's the way, the truth, and the life. If you go into his presence, if you're getting one with him, you will also have the life and life in abundance. And you'll have the power. The word of God says the kingdom of God is not about words, but about power. You'll have that in his presence. And then he showed me, he said to me, put your son down. And I could only see God's two hands on his brain. And he said to me this word, he said, I will restore your son. But this boy will tell the world that Jesus is alive. But you have to go and walk the walk of faith. And I said, anytime, Lord, because I didn't know what faith was all about. Today I know what's faith. I can tell you, faith is to be willing not to know the answer. Hebrews 11 says, faith is not to know, but to believe in the things that we hope for. That we don't see, but we hope for. And he said to me, I give you today this promise, but this promise with your faith will make the miracle. I also afterwards realized that the Word of God says faith is a substance. That's exactly what he said to me that day. And the last thing he said to me, and then firstly he said to me then again, he said, the orders in the house are not correct. He said, people put children first, and then their marriages, and their work, and then God. He said, remember, it's God, your spouse, your children, and then your work. And the last thing he said to me is, always remember, my child, it's not about you on this earth. It's all about me. In my heart, I didn't say it loud, but in my heart I said, no, it is about me. It's my child. It's my pain. And he answered me again. He said, no, my child, it's not even about your pain and your sufferings. It's all about me. And as I opened my eyes, 1.5 hours passed. And when I ran back to ICU, because I realized they're going to stop the machines. When I ran back, the curtains was closed. And I asked them, what's happening? And they said, as soon as they stopped, his heartbeat went down from 32 to 30. And all of a sudden, it went up to 186. And I realized, God, he's there. He's alive. He's truly alive. I walked away from the scene and I sat down and I said, Lord, for as long as I live, I will truly tell the world that you are alive. You are alive. After a month, there was no machine on him other than the trach in his throat and the food tube in his stomach, and he was just still lying in a coma for 3.5 months in a coma. Didn't speak, didn't do anything. The one eye was totally blind, and after a while he opened the right eye, but the left eye was blind and closed, and he was just lying there. And then his face was in a spasm, everything was in spasm. The left side was paralyzed, the right side was in a spasm. And he couldn't open his mouth. 4 months, he couldn't open his mouth. I took him to a doctor and I said, won't you please inject him, do anything, but he have to open his mouth, because I know my heart. When God says, this boy will tell the world that Jesus is alive, you have to open his mouth. And the doctor just said to me, sorry, he will never ever open his mouth. And I said, Lord, I'm not going to take those words, because your word says no weapon formed against us shall prosper. And I cried all the way home. And I said, Lord, I'm not going to take those words. And he said to me, and I said, Lord, $750 for half an hour. He didn't even give us a prescription. God spoke to me and he said, if he gave you one, would you have used it? I said, of course I would. He said, can I give you one? I said, please, Lord, what? He said, John 6:53. I tell you the truth. Unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise you up in the last days. For my flesh is real food, and my blood is real drink. And he says to me, go and do it as often as you need it. So I put a bread there and some juice. And every now and then I just took a piece of bread and I said, Lord, I choose to die with you. And then again, I choose to rise with you. As you rose out of the dead, so I will. I did that. Some days I ate breads. Today I'm only on Provitas. But I kept on doing it. I kept on doing it. And yes, the Word of God, speaking about it, he says, you will feel how the level is rising, and the level will rise and rise and rise. He said, and then one day, as your spirit will rise, the flesh will die, and streams of living water will flow out of you. and you will be like a tree planted at living water. And I changed. And one day we took him out of the bed. He was just lying, and we took him out of the bed, and we took him on, put him on a bicycle, and five of us were holding him. And the physiotherapist said to us, "Why are you doing it? You will never walk. Why are you bothering?" And I said to her, "You see in Genesis 22, God spoke to Abram, and Abram did whatever God said to him. And God says in his word, I have a vision for you, Jehovah." He said, "My name is Jehovah Jireh. The Lord will provide. Jehovah Jireh." In Genesis 22:8, Abram said, "My son, God himself will provide a lamb for this burnt offering." And that I know, God and God himself will provide a lamb for our burnt offering. And the ram is ready. God says the ram is ready. We just have to be obedient. But so many times Christians want to see the blueprint of their love. And God says, "No, my child, I want you to walk in faith and obedience. Pray and obey. Pray and obey. Keep on praying and obey." But that is the hardest part, you see. And then we put him on a chair and we wrapped him and we kept his head up. And the OT came and she said to him one day, he just sat and he looked at, he stared actually at her with the one eye. And she said to him, "Aldo, I want to show you today an A and a B and a C." And I saw him looking around and he looked at a cokey pen. And I said to him, "Do you want to write something?" And he just shaked his head a little bit, his head. But you know, mothers see something different. I saw his head shaking. I said to her, "I see he wants to write something." She called me. She said, "Don't do that to yourself or to him. He will never be able. Look at the x-rays. There's nothing." So I took the pen and I put it in his hand. And he started A and he ended Z. And he kept on and he said, "Thank you, Mummy, that you never stopped believing in God. Thank you that you offered me that day. Because if you did not offer me, I would have been dead." So I shouted and I said, "How do you know that?" And he kept on writing and he said, "Remember the accident? As you bent over me, you looked straight into Jesus' eyes, where he picked me up and he took me to heaven. And I suddenly remember how my whole body was shaking and how the peace came over me. I tell you, you won't stand in the presence of the mighty God. That's why he says in his word, every knee shall bow and every tongue will confess." I was crying and I ran up to the stairs. I said, "Lord, how's this possible? How is this possible?" He gave me the scripture, John 11:40, where Lazarus was dead. And Martha was calling to Jesus and she said, "Jesus, you're 4 days late." And he said, "Martha, didn't I tell you? For those who believe in me will see my supernatural power." He said, "Rita, you're serving a supernatural God. Tell me, how was I born?" I said, "Yes, Lord, I know, supernaturally." He said, "Why do people stop believing that I am a supernatural God? I'm still the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. I am the same." He said, "You have the resurrectional power inside of you. Keep on speaking it. Keep on living it and you will see it." I cried and I ran down. I hugged my child and I cried. I said, and then he starts writing and he says, "I was with him all the time. All the time. And he taught me the whole word of God. Today he can tell me any scripture. He knows the word. He saw two children in heaven. gave me the addresses. At first I didn't believe that. But as we found the parents, and everything he wrote about the children was so correct, I realized we can't tell God what he can and what he can't. It's us that has a limited idea of this mighty God we're serving. It's us. He's the God of the universe. He is my God. And then every day he took the pen and he wrote. He said, I will talk. Thank you, Jesus, 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 I will talk. 5 pages every day. Thank you, Jesus, I will talk. I was the mother. After he watched a movie, he will start telling us normally what happened in the movie. And it's an hour's drive home. And then in the middle, I would stop him normally. And I would say, I'll give you R5 for every 5 minutes that you just keep quiet for a while. That was me. And all of a sudden, he's quiet. I cried. Lord, please forgive me. Please forgive me. 5 speech therapists didn't want to help us. They looked at the x-rays and they said to me, never, never. And as I phoned the last one, I walked down the stairs and he asked me, he was writing, and he said, when can we start? What is she saying? When can we start? And I said to him, sorry, she's full. She can't help us. And he said to me, don't worry. I will talk. And Jesus will make me talk. It was months, 7 months. Couldn't speak. But the day came when Jesus said, it's time. And he opened his mouth and a little noise came out. And that noise became a word. Today he's speaking very slowly on in one tone. But he's speaking. Today he's in a private school. His marks is 95-96%. Today, after 2 years in a wheelchair, he's walking. If you look at him, he's still looking like a pregnant woman at a loss. You know that look? But I praise God, that is the beginning. He's walking. And he will run. And every day of his life, he still journals. And then he will write, Mommy, tell the world that Jesus is alive. I saw him. I saw God sitting on his throne. And he said to me, I have to tell the people that there is a hell and there is a heaven. You still have a chance now. Give your life to the living God. Believe me, Jesus loves you. He loves you with all his heart. And he says, he will never leave you nor forsake you. He will not. He will not. And then, that same day, God gave me the scripture in Hebrews 13:15, where he says, I will not. I will not. I will not. Surely I will not. I will not leave you nor forsake you. I will not even release my grip on you. I will not, says the Lord God Almighty. One night, before he could speak, he woke me and he said to me, did you see Jesus? I said, no. He said, he was right here. He touched my eye. He touched my eye because that eye was the blind eye. I said to him, just as a normal mother, can you see now? No. He just shaked his head, no. After a week, one night as I came home, that eye kept, you have to put some anointing oil in to close it. And we didn't put the salve in that night. So the eye was still open. And I sat and I prayed for him. And I just made my mouth as I kissed him. And he did it back. So I said, "Can you see me?" And he showed his thumb. "Yes." And he writes, and he wrote that night, he said, "Remember, I told you Jesus was here. He touched my eye. And I can see now." Today, that eye can see 100%. It's just the lid is still hanging. The third chronicle hurt, and that is why the eyelid hangs and the vocal cord is so slowly. But I believe with all my heart that God is still busy healing him. And every day of my life, I'm still speaking life in that eye, in that hand, the hand that is shaking, the leg that is shaking, that kept him from walking properly. I speak life every day into that part of his body. And his balance. And God's voice cannot return void. And I praise God for that. One night he was laying on his arms and he made a little noise. He can't cry. And he made this voice that I know now it's crying. And I said, "Why are you crying?" He said, "In heaven, Mommy, there's a huge golden brooch." He said, "And then there's a huge door. And people are standing in front of the door and they are crying. And they're all wearing sand clothes." And I thought, "What sand clothes is this?" He said, "They're all crying." I said, "Why are they crying?" He said, "Because they can't enter." I said, "Enter into what?" He said, "Don't you know what's at the other side of the door?" I said, "No." He said, "There's a wedding feast, Mommy. And not everybody can enter there." So I took him to bed and I went to the Lord and I said, "Lord, what is this?" And the next morning, as he journaled every morning, long times, long pages, he was just writing down Matthew 25. And there I read about the 10 virgins. 5's ready and 5's not. My first impression was, "Father, they were all there." And he says, "No, my child. 5 is ready and 5's not ready." I don't know if you remember Jacob. Jacob ran to the Lord and he said, "Lord, I'll stay here till you bless me." The word of God says, "For those who would seek me will find me." So that night, I went on my knees and I said, "Lord, my name is Rieta. And I'll stay here till you show me the bride. I need to know. I'm not going to walk this difficult road, Lord." And just to arrive there and not to be ready. It wasn't 10 o'clock, it wasn't 11, it wasn't 12, it wasn't 1. 2 o'clock that morning, God gave me a vision. And in this vision, I saw the egg and I saw the maize. He said to me, "My child, for so many years, you are the egg and I am the maize. And you polished the shell of this egg. And that shell is me, myself and I." He said, "But the protein are all inside. And this egg should break." And afterwards, he took the egg and the maize and he made it one. He said to me very clearly, "You cannot choose the fingers. You cannot choose the fingers, my child. That's putting the egg and the maize to one." And after that, I saw the dew. He said to me, "Can you take the egg out again?" I said, "No, Lord." "And the maize? Can you take it out again?" I said, "No, Lord." "Can you try your best, Rieta? Anything, any method, would you ever be able to separate them again?" "No, Lord." And the scripture of Romans 8 came to me. Nothing can separate me from the love of Christ. Nothing can separate me. And then he said to me, "Now I'm molding you and I put you in this little pan. We're going to the oven and it's hot in there. And after the oven, I take you out." Long time been in the oven. And you throw the bread out and you open it up. "Have you ever smelled fresh baked bread?" And he said, "You know, in Ephesians it says, you will be a pleasant smell to the world." He said to me, "My child, only now I can feed the world with you." We have to be one with the living God. And then a friend of mine gave me a book of 2 Thomas. The book's name is Heaven is So Real. I start reading this book and I realize most of the things that Aldo saw in heaven, she also saw. And then she was explaining about the golden bridge. And then at a page, she was describing how she saw the people standing outside the gate. And she asked the Lord, "Lord, who are those people? Their heads were hanging low and they looked very dejected and hopeless. Who are these people, Lord?" He said to her, "They are disobedient Christians. How long do they have to stay in this barren, lifeless place, Lord?" "Forever, my daughter. The only ones who will enter the kingdom of heaven are the pure of heart, my obedient children." He went on to explain, many call themselves Christians. Some think going to church once a week is enough and some think to read my word is enough. He said, but they still pursue worldly things. And they don't have me in their hearts. And as I read that, I know this is the answer. That, with a vision, explained to me the whole thing. Jesus says, in the word he said, "I am the way, I am the truth, and the life. And no one will enter." You have to be one with the living Father, the living Jesus, and the Spirit of the mighty God. You have to be one. Jesus is the way. He is the truth. And he is the life. So many people don't understand the book. And I want to tell you today, it's just because you don't know my God. You don't know my God. If I have to tell you what my son goes through every day and what he's still writing till today and how he's one with the Spirit, you will also not believe that. We call people names because we don't know. We call people names because we put God in a box. Do you have the kingdom of God in you? Or do you just have words? God spoke to me and he said, written in Luke 10, he sent two people out every time when Jesus went into ministry. To minister, he sent out two, and they were called acquaintances of God. And then there was the 12 disciples. One of them they called a devil. And then there were the 3 friends, Peter, John, and James. And then there was one. And his name was John. And to him he revealed the kingdom of heaven. If you think of the last meal they had together, John's head was on Jesus. And he and Jesus had an intimate love relationship. His head was on his chest. And God spoke to me and he said to me, "Rita, how do you know if someone is alive?" I was the right person to ask this question. I said to him, you will hear his heartbeat, Lord. He said, "Exactly." He said, "My bride's head will be on my chest. And my bride will have the marks where you've died in yourself. And my bride will be groomed with my glory. and my bride will have an intimate love relationship with me. And my bride, in the Holy of Holies, there's no words. It's deep and to deep, and spirit and to spirit. Heartbeat to heartbeat. I'm not asking you today if you are born again. Because you see, in the outer court, many people are standing still in the church today. They have received Jesus, but there's so much more. I'm asking you today, are you his bride? Because Jesus is on his way. He's on his way. And he's coming to get his bride. Aldo was writing the other day, I am his bride, he says. What about you? Let's close our eyes and we just give our lives to the living Lord. Father, thank you that we can come today in the name, the mighty name, the name above all names, in the name of Jesus, to you. And with each person, Lord, I just want to sacrifice our lives. I want to put down everything. Everything, Lord, our lives, our businesses, our children, our marriages, everything that is more important than you, we want to put it down. We want to be your bride. And the preparation of the bride has really begun. Teach us, Lord. Open the veils of our eyes. And we are here to buy self, to put it in our eyes, so that we can see what the Spirit of God wants to show us. We want to come, Lord, to get gold that has been purified by fire. And we're here to get the rope to cover our nakedness. Open the eyes of our hearts, Lord. Open the eyes of our hearts. We want to see you, Lord Jesus. Fill us with your glory, with your love. And we are calling you, Spirit of the Living God. Take us in, into the Holy of Holies. Take us in. We are here to say yes. We want to be your bride. And then, Father, we can say, truly, you are the air I breathe. You are the air I breathe. And Aldo, you will speak. You will run. You will tell the world yourself that Jesus is truly alive. And both your eyes will definitely see the goodness of the living God. Your lid will lift. In the mighty name of Jesus, I pray this. You are truly the love of my life, Lord. Amen.